The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, in a moment, we're going to hear from the government minister who believes social media is a threat to Western democracy and who wants our government to put measures in place to protect our integrity of our voting and other political issues. Before we meet Minister Josepha Madigan, though, I want to talk to Ellen Coyne, senior Ireland reporter at the Times Ireland edition, because Ellen, in your newspaper today, you have detailed how Twitter in particular has refused to take down many offensive items, including hate speech. Tell us a little bit about what you found.
That's right, Matt. So all of these posts were posts who were directed at Irish Twitter users. And the offensive and abusive content that we found ranged from references to child sex abuse, taunting rape victims, disturbing messages from stalkers, homophobia and transphobia. And just before speaking to you this afternoon, I've checked again, and posts that we found which conflated homosexuality with paedophilia and claimed that Dublin Pride was basically a playground for paedophiles, despite being repeatedly reported to Twitter in Dublin, is still remaining online. Our investigation covered a number of posts from people who claimed that they have been repeatedly harassed by individual users under multiple accounts or by groups of people. Some of them were being harassed because of their sexuality or their gender identity. In one case, we had a transgender activist showed us evidence of repeated abuse and harassment that she was reporting to Twitter. And in all of these cases, these individuals were told by Twitter after they reported that none of this abuse was a breach of its terms and conditions for abuse and harassment online.
How could it not be?
Well, I've had a look at Twitter's abuse policy, and anybody who wants to can go and find it online. It's pretty brief, and it says that, you know, there should be no targeted harassment of individuals and nobody should be subjected to abuse, but it doesn't go into much detail beyond that. People have reported cases to us where they were getting really horrific stuff, stuff that damaged their livelihood or even threats of sexual violence. They didn't want to report because they knew how difficult it can be to take these posts down. And just to compare the kind of virtual world, if you want to call it that, with real life, we also spoke to a woman who was getting a series of tweets from her convicted stalker. So this is somebody who was found guilty in a court of law of harassing her, who was setting up multiple accounts on Twitter, including one where he posed as her 14-year-old daughter under the name of her daughter and was sending her really sexually explicit graphic messages, was sending her multiple other messages, sexually violent ones about her from different accounts. And again, she's been struggling to get Twitter to take these accounts down. So the problem seems to be at this point that there's a discrepancy between the laws that everybody follows in so-called real life and the fact that social networks like Twitter and Facebook are basically being trusted to regulate themselves. The reason we did this investigation is your listeners will probably remember earlier this month, Facebook got in similar trouble because there was concerns about how it does, or more importantly, doesn't moderate explicit or abusive content on its website and take it down when people are asking it to. I think the important thing to stress here is that these aren't cases where we were expecting Twitter to go through its website and take down everything that was offensive. Everything that we've reported on the front page of the Ireland edition of the Times today is offensive material that was brought to Twitter's attention, including cases where women were having people impersonate their rapists online and harass them repeatedly with messages.
Minister Josepha Madigan, Minister for Culture, Heritage and the Gaeltacht, what do you make of all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Ellen said, I can't disagree with what she's saying in relation to self-regulation of the online world, I suppose, if you like. I mean, I think there's a distinction to be made between hate crimes when you're talking about it under legislation, like, you know, the provisions of the 1989 Act, which, as we know, incitement hatred is a crime. And obviously online hate speech should be reported to the Gardaí. But there is a distinction between that, I think, and online harassment. So, you know, that has to be looked at. I know that there's a National Advisory Council for Online Safety that has been established. And obviously, I think, in fact, I know that the government recently agreed to stop its own work on legislate on harassment, and instead we accepted the Labour Party private members bill, which I think is at the third stage before the Dáil, and hopefully that will come at the debate stage before autumn. But what I actually was speaking about yesterday, notwithstanding the relevant points that Ellen makes about...
Absolutely, and I do want to talk to you about the extension of this into the political arena.
Well, what I was talking about yesterday was about in terms of integrity to democracy, Matt, as you say, in the political arena. And I think when we look at the first report of the Interdepartmental Group on the security of our electoral process, it's obvious from that at a very high risk are the use of online platforms and micro-targeting in terms of spreading of misinformation online and the risk of cyber attacks on our electoral system. And that's actually quite worrying. And I think, you know, we have to follow the recommendations. And I was saying this yesterday in the opening speech of the Parnell Summer School, that we have to expedite the establishment of the Electoral Commission by the end of the year. And we also have to regulate transparency of online political advertising. And what I was saying is that I welcome the fact that both Google and Facebook did take steps towards the end of the weeks, the last week, I think it was, of the Eighth Amendment campaign, where they did ban online ads. And I know that, for example, YouTube also took down some misinformation, that there was a right-wing InfoWars account by Alex Jones, and they did sanction him in relation to that. But
unfortunately, Twitter hasn't.
I do think Ellen is correct. Sorry, Matt, to cut across you there. I do think Ellen is correct to say that, you know, we have to pursue regulatory alternatives if the self-regulated adherence, which is a proposed code of practice under the EU law, and if that isn't satisfactory, then we have to take more active steps, because this is I think there is evidence from Brexit and from the US elections that there was interference in the electoral process, and we have to ensure that remains.
Of course, Josefa, you know what will happen is that people will say that censorship, it's political censorship by the establishment, by the elite, by the mainstream media.
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think that, you know, you can't have one rule for mainstream media and a totally separate rule for online media and
rules
for fair comment. And even as a backbencher, which is only 8 months ago, I did bring forward a contempt of court bill, which I hope to get a sponsor for, a co-sponsor from the backbenchers, to bring that forward before the end of the year, because again, that will look after the integrity of our democracy. I mean, I think the Eurobarometer has said that 83% of Europeans think that fake news is a threat to democracy, and I would agree with that. And I think that the report that has come out has shows that the risks, the mitigation factors, that they have identified gaps. We now need to act upon that, and we need to act upon it urgently, because this is a global problem. It's not just an Irish problem. You know, so it's very important that there, you know, to avoid fragmentation, that there's a cohesive European approach as well to this, because it's a problem that spans across borders.
Indeed, Minister, we have rules for broadcasters. This programme has to adhere to certain rules and regulations which are set down by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Newspapers have, well, perhaps they are self-regulated, but there is a press council. They also have to worry about libel actions. And also, I think there's professionalism on the part of journalists to make sure that the type of rubbish which goes up on social media doesn't find its way into their printed pages. So how difficult is it going to be to introduce regulation and legislation to maintain the standards of the conventional media in the new social media world?
I think it will be difficult, but I think it has to be done. I mentioned the fact that the private members bill, the Labour one, that we were going to bring forward, my own contempt of court bill. If you look at other European countries such as Belgium and the Netherlands, they've set up task forces to investigate how best to combat election misinformation. I know that France has a comprehensive bill about this as well. I know the UK, for example, is setting up a national security communications unit in the Cabinet Office, and that will be a significant part of their role, will be monitoring social media to identify and kind of unmask these fake news campaigns. And we saw those orchestrated at a state level when you're looking at Russian bots and during the Brexit referendum. There's also the great work of the Transparency Referendum Initiative, and they looked at evidence from the referendum, the Eighth Amendment, in relation to political ads. I think that's extremely important that we see that there's absolutely full transparency about where those ads are coming from into the future for referendums as well as elections.
As an aside, it's very worrying to see that the British haven't conducted any investigation into how their Brexit referendum may have been influenced by Russian bots and others. At least the Americans are doing that, even if Donald Trump doesn't want them to do it. A last word to you on this, Ellen Coyne, senior Ireland reporter at the Times Ireland edition. Facebook took a lot of flack, correctly so, for outsourcing responsibility for monitoring posts to an Irish company called CPL. And you would have to have serious questions as to whether it was up to the job of doing what is required. How many people are employed by Twitter to do this? Or do they outsource their responsibility for monitoring posts to somebody else? Or do they even bother?
Well, we sent a series of questions to Twitter on this and they haven't responded, which isn't unusual for large tech companies like this. I think that they're kind of struggling with the transparency and the scrutiny that does come with the power that they have. I think that the reason that this is a big Irish political issue at the moment is a lot of politicians are conscious that a lot of these organisations are based here for tax purposes. So the move now, when you see the Dáil coming back in September, will be to have the Irish Parliament lobbying the European Parliament and other member states to have a kind of cohesive strategy where we crack down on online harassment and harmful communications. Because obviously, while the Irish government has its own borders, companies like Twitter and Facebook and the rest of the internet does not.
Thank you very much, Ellen Coyne from the Times Ireland edition, and Minister Josepha Madigan, Minister for Culture, Heritage and the Gaeltacht.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.